You're listening to 89.7 KUCB on Alaska, and this is Speak Up on Alaska for Monday, March 1st, with special guest Bryce Edgemond calling in from Juneau.
My pleasure to be here, and I look forward to answering a few questions.
Representative Bryce Edgemond is serving us in Juneau in the House of Representatives. So, Representative Edgemond, you're headed to D.C. later today for a large energy meeting. What's going on at that meeting, and what do you hope to accomplish by attending?
Well, I'm going by virtue of being the co-chair of the House Energy Committee, and I'm going to Washington, D.C. with the specific purpose of taking advantage of the opportunity to meet with a whole host of representatives in the departments, the federal departments, as well as meeting with a number of both House and Senate legislators who have ties to energy, as well as meeting with the local delegation, Senator Murkowski, Senator Begich, Representative Young. We have also separate meetings set up for Kim Elton, who is the Alaska envoy for the Department of Interior, and a number of meetings with FERC. And I think we've got a couple of meetings pertaining to gas line issues, as well as maybe the Corps of Engineers. So really, one day to get back there from Juneau, of course. Everybody who's been back east is familiar with the length of time it takes to get to Washington, D.C. And then it's from that point on, it's four full days of meetings, of information sessions, and also the conference itself, which is very informative and something I look forward to.
What kinds of information do you want to get from the conference?
Well, I went last year, and it was the first time I'd gone to Energy Council. And last year, we had some really great session on climate change issues, on what the stimulus package was doing relative to the energy situation in Alaska. We had a session on transmission lines. We had a session on what the Department of Energy is doing with geothermal. We had a session on the Waxman-Markey bill in terms of cap and trade issues. And so all these federal issues, as well as certainly the other states' perspective on issues by virtue of being at the conference, that you get access to that you don't have access to being here in Juneau. And I know that there are some people out there who, you know, sort of look offhandedly at this trip as maybe just a state junket, but I certainly don't see it that way. I see it as being a pretty exhausting trip with a lot of work. And a real great opportunity as a legislator, and, you know, really is one member of the board of directors for the state of Alaska, if you will, to get an opportunity to get a real important federal perspective on a lot of key issues for Alaska.
So it sounds like a large number of state representatives and senators are going, half the Senate. So you pretty much have to shut down operations in Juneau while everyone is gone. Why is this conference that worthwhile?
Well, not everything's being shut down in Juneau. I sit on the House Education Committee, and the committee is meeting on Wednesday of this week, even though a number of legislators are leaving on Tuesday. But I think you have enough legislators who are in leadership positions that it really does warrant a few days of stand down. And you know, mind you, we're in a 90-day schedule, a 90-day session this year, and the pace thus far has been, you know, really nothing less than frantic, early morning to late at night. And, you know, for the legislators who aren't going to Energy Council, and there's a part of me that that envies them, they get to maybe go back to their districts, or they get to just sort of relax and take a breather, while a number of us are continuing ahead full steam.
So, why is it necessary for so many people to go to this particular conference?
Well, that's a good question to ask a lot of legislators. I, you know, my role is in the energy area, and it's tied specifically to the purpose of the conference. And I know there are a number of House members who aren't on the Education Committee, and there's certainly a few Senate members who aren't as well, but they have been authorized to go. And I know other legislators utilize the time back east to meet with congressmen or people within the various departments on a whole range of issues. A few are meeting on Cook Inlet, the Beluga critical habitat, for example, or marine spatial planning, or just a number of issues that are outside the immediate realm of energy.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess let's move on to the next topic and invite some listeners to call in at 581-1888 as well. So one of the bills that's going through right now that's actually getting quite a bit of press is the governor's performance scholarship. How is that changing as it's being reviewed by the House?
Well, the major change is that we have added an unmet needs component to the bill, essentially providing for a student who can demonstrate that he or she may have financial needs above a $2,000 threshold, that that student could qualify for up to 50% beyond the $2,000 threshold of their overall cost of going to an Alaskan-based institution, not just as a scholarship originally addressed, not just the tuition portion. And so that's been the major change. There have been a number of other smaller amendments that are being incorporated in the bill, and we just heard it. In fact, I scrambled up the stairs from the first floor to be here on time today. We just heard the bill, House Bill 297, again this morning, and it will come up probably next week, I think, with possibly even more amendments and with the intent of moving it out of the House Education Committee and getting it to the Finance Committee, where it goes next.
So how does it look at this point? I mean, is it mostly just a merit-based scholarship, or can many people apply for it?
Well, that's a great question. In order to qualify, as the governor's program is structured now, and knowing that it's likely going to change even more as it goes through additional committees, but as it's structured now, a student would have to have a certain GPA average, would have to demonstrate taking of certain curriculum, core curriculum, then also would have to take a standardized assessment test such as the ACT or the SAT or something in that area in order to qualify for the scholarship program. A student, once they've met those qualifications, would have up to 6 years to take advantage of the scholarship program, so it's been a fascinating discussion, as you might imagine, encompassing almost every sort of nook and cranny of the educational world, both at the K through 12, but also largely involving the Alaska University system and the Voc-Tech arena in the state.
Okay, we have just gotten a call in from a listener, and it says, given that the DMV will not be reissuing off-highway CDLs, so commercial driver license, will the legislature appropriate any monies to offset the high cost of airfares for rural Alaskan drivers to go into Anchorage to take sole CDL tests for on-highway CDLs?
My guess is no, but I'd like to look further into that issue because I haven't sat in the committee that heard the issue, and I'd like to really get a chance maybe to get back to the listener. And I've asked my staff to be in touch with DOT on the issue because we have had a couple of other communities not ask that specific question, but really expressed their concern about the whole measure. And I guess I would ask the listener, if they would, to call my office, and we can look at the issue more closely.
Okay. Maybe can you explain this a little bit more for people who perhaps aren't as familiar? So it won't be possible to get a CDL out in Unalaska anymore?
Well, I'm not sure that that's quite the case. And what I'd like to do is contact the department and have that conversation, because that's not my understanding. And I don't want to give the wrong answer here or leave the wrong impression by not giving a complete response. So let me get back to the listener if they would call our office at 1-800-898-4451, and we'll try to get a more complete response back to them.
You can also, if you want to, just email your response to that to me, and I can post it on our blog, and anybody can read it on the blog as well.
I just got a note from my staff. This issue obviously is very much developing, and I'm told that we have contacted DOT and that our communities will be removed from the list for at least will not be removed from the list for at least 1 year. So this is something that we definitely need to take a look at, and I appreciate the call bringing it to our attention.
Okay, so for the next year at least, you will be able to get CDLs, off-highway CDLs on Alaska.
Yes, that's net effect of where we're at today.
Okay. All right. Well, that is good to know and definitely something to keep on track of for the next year. Also, in terms of things that will affect the next year and things that are developing right now, the House Finance Committee will discuss the operating budget today. How does this year's proposed budget compare to last year's, and are there any significant changes?
Well, the subcommittees, each agency has a subcommittee that meets, let's take the Department of Transportation, for example. The DOT subcommittee, which I sit on, holds a number of meetings with the department, and then in consultation with the department, forwards a recommended budget to the full House Finance Committee member. So we've got about 14 or 15 subcommittees reporting into the full Finance Committee, which has put all that into one bill at this point. And that bill is committee substitute. I don't have the bill number here in front of me. It's committee substitute committee substitute to House Bill 300. And that bill will be coming in front of the House Finance Committee later on today with public testimony scheduled for tomorrow. And let me just point out to listeners that for off-net sites such as Unalaska, the time would be 2:45 to 3:45 tomorrow for public testimony. And if I could, Ann, I'm going to rattle off a toll-free number here somewhat quickly, okay. And I'll repeat it if necessary, but it's 1-877-763-5073. So quickly, once again, 1-877-763-5073.
Okay.
And, mm-hmm. And if I could, I'll respond more directly to your question. You've got all these subcommittees, all these various departments reporting into the full Finance Committee with an amalgamation of all the recommendations, if you will, into one bill. And so I think the committee will begin sorting through all those recommendations, and in terms of comparing it to last year's budget. Obviously, we're still in the formative stages with this year's budget, so it's a little bit premature to make sort of hard and fast contrasts, but that overall it appears that the operating budget essentially is a maintenance-level budget in the sense that it's being funded somewhere close to last year's levels with probably some reductions in a few agencies along with a few programs that might be added in. And we'll know more, I think, once that we have the chance to watch the Finance Committee and all these different department budgets being sort of lumped into one big bill.
Okay. And we actually just had a caller who called in with a question specifically about the budget concerning the Marine Advisory Program. The Marine Advisory Program, the University of Alaska system is asking for money to fund the Marine Advisory Program. We have an office of that program out here that does quite a bit in our community. Do you see the legislature providing funding in the upcoming budget to make the MAP positions permanent in six different communities around the state?
Well, I think at the end of session that we are going to get the six positions throughout the state funded. It's been a real interesting dialogue with the university on the issue. We're looking at marine advisory positions in Nome, Dillingham, Alaska, Cordova, Petersburg and Kodiak, and it's about $614,000 is the request amount. And it's come before the House Finance Committee on a couple of occasions. And my office, along with Senator Hoffman's and you know, basically all the coastal legislators, have really made this issue a priority. And but the dialogue with the university has been sort of back and forth. At one point, they said that you know, they would absorb the funds if they were approved, and not guarantee that they would go to the MAP program. And the latest exchange, as I understand it, is that the university has offered to fund the six positions from their existing budget proposal. So, you know, I'd be going out on a little limb to guarantee that it's going to get funded, but my sense is that it's a priority issue with enough legislators, certainly key legislators, that, that you know, I think we've got a real good chance of getting the funding for the six positions. And certainly the challenge is to make sure that this isn't an issue every year, because it shouldn't be. Those are very vital, important programs, I would say particularly in Unalaska. So, you know, we not only want to solve it for this year, but we also want to make sure that this doesn't keep coming back year after year, and we're having to fight for funding for people who are doing, you know, a great service to their local communities, but having to worry about whether their position is being funded from year to year.
Okay. So will that not be known for sure until the end of the session in April?
Well, I would say, again, just a moment ago we talked about the operating budget being in House Finance and sort of the building block pieces coming together in one bill, that we'll know more here in the coming weeks, and I don't think it's going to be the end of the session that we'll know for sure. But I'm going to guess, you know, at least in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a pretty good indication of where the funding request is, both in the Senate and the House operating budgets.